Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spoken Heard. I'm Susan Dobie Chase, and today I am thrilled to bring you Mr. Joey Tucker, otherwise known as Mr. Enlightenment. Hello, Joey. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very, very well. You're talking to us today from where?
Charleston, South Carolina.
That's right. And so Charleston, and you being a teacher, I'm sure that it gets warm pretty early in June, and we, you know, in the Midwest tend to go until the middle of the school year, but I would bet that you guys have just a few weeks of school left.
Yeah, we actually have about a solid month left, so
mm-hmm. We
are definitely towards the finish line.
Yeah, I'm sure you're looking forward as well as the kids, but one thing I wanted to ask you right away off the bat was, Mr. Enlightenment, where does that come from?
It's kind of a brainstorming session with another friend of mine who writes, and just trying to come up with like a pen name. I didn't want to go with my real name. And teacher, you always trying to enlighten people or, you know, bringing those kind of methods of enlightenment, so I went with that, and Mr. Enlightenment kind of had a nice ring to it, so it stuck from there.
Mm-hmm. Especially with the Mr. in front of it, you know, with the being a teacher and all, I love that total reference to, you know, enlightening the youth and also enlightening people who are listening to your work. I think that's a great title. I've also seen on your site that you said that you're the kilowatt poet, which I think is really interesting too. And I have to mention that shirt that you wear that says Edison is my homeboy. Those are really, really cute things. You came up with all of that after the Mr. Enlightenment tag, yes?
Yeah, all of that came like not at once. It's like here and there. Like the kilowatt poet was, I was looking for like a handle for social media, and
mm-hmm.
I just kind of thought that light and kilowatt, and it just had a good ring to it, so I went with that.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Joey, I was hoping that I could talk you into sharing something with us. Just so we can get an idea of your work. I know there are fans out there who really would like to hear you, and there are other people out there who maybe aren't as familiar with your work as others. Would you mind doing that for me?
So this is kind of my introduction poem. It's called Let There Be Light. I remember when Mom used to call me home before the streetlights came on. Now I feel at home on stage when the lights are on. Senior year undergrad, that's when the light came on. Time to illuminate. I write like I'm afraid of the dark. My pen is a light bulb, a match waiting for that spark. When I start to shine, I don't plan on flickering. My brain is a generator, ready to kick in like an NFL punter. Try to take my shine, I got enough radiance to go around. I'll even pass it out like free samples. Like the first attempt of Neanderthals trying to create fire, you probably fizz out before you replicate me. When someone closes the gap, it's time to increase the voltage, become more ultraviolet. For every sunrise is a sunset. But not if I can help it. Prepare for my summer solstice. Let there be light.
Wonderful. And you wrote this as an introduction to yourself, I'm sure, yes?
Yeah, it just kind of came to me, and I went there. It's like, this is kind of a good poem to kind of introduce and tie in all the light terms and, you know, kind of
mm-hmm.
associate it with different things in life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When you give a performance, do you usually start with this piece?
I like, it depends on how many poems I do in that particular time. Like, if I'm only doing one, I normally go into, like, one of my more popular ones. But if I'm doing, like, several poems in one night, then I'll try to throw this one in there at some point.
And so you teach, what, fourth grade language arts? Did I get that correct?
Yeah, fourth grade language arts. And actually, I mean, last couple of years I was doing social studies too.
So what is it about fourth grade? Did you just decide that that was the level for you? Or was that a position that was available? Or why fourth grade?
It was kind of both. Like, the elementary level I can do from 2 through 5. And, fourth grade is, they're independent and they're starting to have their own opinions about different things. So they're independent workers, but they're still pretty motivated about doing work for the most part. You know, they kind of lose that self-motivation as the older they get, but, you know, they still have those things that they're excited about, and recess still motivates them. So I use a little bit of, you know, that to my advantage.
Excellent. And so tell me a story about something that's happened lately with the fourth graders that that is either charming or any sort of other story that you might want to tell me about you and the classroom and your students.
Well, we all, in my school, every teacher has to put like a biography or autobiography of themselves on their door. Just when visitors come and, you know, walk down the hallways, they can see and the kids can read a little bit about the teachers. And one of my favorite rappers is Jay-Z, and we just had a conversation. Like, one of my female students, she, you know, along with several other ones, like, they're not really familiar with Jay-Z's work, and she's like, Meghan Trainor is her favorite artist. Which I'm not really familiar with Meghan Trainor, other than, you know, after talking to her, I realized she had that song that was, like, all about that bass, which I heard the song, but I didn't know who she was. So it's kind of like generation gap. She's thinking Meghan Trainor is the best artist ever. I think Jay-Z is one of the best artists ever. So I was trying to get her to realize, like, he has a resume that's, you know, pretty impressive. And that she's more of a new artist, and she hasn't really had as much time to get the accolades. But, you know, we kind of go back and forth with that, and then the class gets involved, and, you know, we're doing vocabulary words, and, you know, she wants to put her artist in there, and some of the other boys kind of get on my side and say that Meghan Trainor is overrated or she's not as popular either. So we kind of have this back and forth.
So the fourth graders are willing to debate with you, and you, again, spend your time trying to enlighten them as to your viewpoints as well as the subject matter. I like it. I really do.
Yeah.
I'm sure with Beyonce being Jay-Z's wife that came up as well. And I'm sure added to his
popularity. That could help. That helps his case. He has a popular wife, too, a very successful wife, too.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. I'm glad that you and your students talk so openly about modern issues and get into social media and that sort of thing. Do your students still look up to you, like, as if you're, like, what am I trying to say? They don't want to disappoint you, because they look at you as a positive influence in your life. Is that still something that happens in the fourth grade?
You do have the people pleasers. There's like it's a wide spectrum of people in classrooms. So you got the people pleasers, and then you got people that could care less. And from what I realize, it's like I'm the tough. I compare myself like the tough coach you had when you were younger. And you didn't really realize until later that he or she was only wanting the best from you. So that's kind of how they view me, as a kind of a tough guy. And then really down the road, years later, they kind of, you know, oh, you weren't so bad after all, type thing.
You weren't so bad after all. I love that. So I know that kind of transitioning from your student to you, that growing up, you never really had the desire to write poetry until after you had been in college, but you spent a lot of time freestyling and getting into that aspect of language play as a younger man. Tell me a little bit.
Well, everybody that listens to rap wants to be a rapper, and like everybody thinks they can rap, especially if you've ever been in like a team setting where, you know, we're kind of killing time or on the bus. You know, everybody wants to, you know, rap together. So everybody writes rhymes, you know, write their own raps. As you listen to rap and you have your favorite rappers, you want to do the same thing. So that came about. It was more rhyming. You know, it wasn't as structured, but it was just doing what some of my favorite artists were, trying to do what some of my favorite artists were doing.
So
that's how that came about.
And then you turned to poetry later in your life. Who is some of the artists that that inspire you, that have brought you to the realization that you wanted to try writing poetry?
You know, I'm kind of different than most poets, which I do know the history. I've read the Langston Hughes and Maya Angelou. But I'm more of a hip hop influence, I guess. I've been hearing the term hip hop poet too. I've been hearing that term used to describe some people, more like a hip hop poet. So I'm kind of like in between poetry and hip hop. I'm kind of in between. So a lot of my influence, like Jay-Z, is a big influence, and a lot of when I was younger, you know, I just listened to music. Like that was one of my hobbies. Like I would get the newest release and just play it and rap along with the artists that I enjoyed. So, I mean, I just think I got ability to do that from listening to them. So I found that I was able to put words together pretty cleverly. So I kind of give that as credit, you know, listening to that over the years. Like I was, you know, elementary school myself, you know, when the songs that I was able to listen to or what my mom didn't know I was purchasing, you know, I listen to it in my room. I wouldn't blast it, but just the stuff that I was listening to, it kind of, I don't know if I had an ear for it or just developed the ability by kind of listening to them do it.
The music is one of your major inspirations in life. Do you play any musical instruments? Do you sing?
I don't play any musical instruments. I don't sing. But if I could go back now, like I think I would want to be a little more like versatile in my hobbies. I think I would enjoy playing the drums. Like I wasn't in the band or anything, but it wasn't as cool to be in a band back when I was in high school, but I was on the football team. But now that I think about it, if I did play a musical instrument, I would love to play the drums. I think that's a pretty cool instrument to play.
Why the drums?
The drums, like, I don't know. I just watched the band as in March, and they were kind of the people that would get the crowd into it. And you watch these movies like Drumline, you see the competitions, the drummers will go back and forth. I think I consider the drum like the most interesting aspect of the band. Even when you listen to a live band, the drummer is like the one that I pay attention to most, from just doing their tricks with the drumsticks and just the way they carry the tunes.
Well, yeah, and being so into hip-hop at the beginning, you know, they're the ones that carry the beat and the ones that generate the very basic building block of hip-hop itself. And I know that a lot of artists today don't have live drummers, but they do have you know, the representation of the beat and the rhythm, certainly all the time. So maybe that played into it too.
And it just looked cool with me too.
I love it. I love it. We're about halfway through the show, Joey. I was hoping that maybe I could talk you into reading another poem.
Okay, well, I'm going to do, this is like the lead poem on the poetry CD that I put out in the end of 2015. It's called, the CD itself is called Worth My Weight in Watts. So I'm going back to that light theme I had going on, kind of tying that in. And this poem is called Shout Outs. Shout out to the Red Foxes, the Richard Pryors, the Red Foxes, the Georgian Wheezy's, the Sanford and Sons, the Razor and the Sun, they used to be greats. Shout out to the pictures of great Kool-Aid on some of the days. Life's trouble, life's better when you make it sweet. Shout out to the bishops, the old dogs, infatuated with the juice. Life's trouble squeeze our anacondas. Shout out to the life's trouble squeeze our anacondas. Shout out to the snakes, the rats, the pests, the ones that try to ruin happy homes. Shout out to the homeboys who are down from day one, the ones that hold you up when you're down. Shout out for gravity for keeping us grounded, the those getting their hands dirty working 9 to 5 for that cream money. Shout out to the accountants calculating the digits. Shout out to the club girls giving out the digits in exchange for a few drinks. Shout out to the thirsty ones. May your need for attention be quenched. Shout out to the red solo cups, to the lead singers that went solo, to the Bobby Browns. Shout out to the Ciscos. To those are 5 steps away from eternity, from the bloggers to the hashtaggers, shout out to the YouTubers, the twerkers going viral, the world stars, the Vines, the 6-second celebrity, shout out to the Walking Dead, to the kings that died playing the Game of Thrones, shout out to the chess pieces, the Monopolies, the models on Boardwalk and Park Place, shout out to FCG, I'm spitting to the lights out.
So you put this out, you just mentioned, on a CD. Do you feel like the art of spoken word is better represented by the vocal performance than it is on the page?
I think this is a preference, but just from being around the poetry scene the last few years, and you kind of, that's kind of the norm now. Like, poets have chapbooks and then poets have CDs. And I'm starting to see more and more poets have CDs. And I've even heard from listeners that, you know, they might not want to read it because then they say, oh, I don't know how you meant for it to go. But if I'm listening to you say it, I get a better interpretation of how the poem was meant to be delivered, you know. So they'd like to hear the audio of it. It kind of puts a little more feeling, and just gives it another way to be delivered. It gives it a little more spice to it, I guess, because if I put music behind it, because I put music behind mine, I also know that the music kind of gives it a different feel too. So I have music behind it as I say the poem on my CD. So it kind of gives it another type of feel to it. So I do see that you know, people don't read as much as they used to, with short attention spans, and I feel like a CD is good for that kind of you know the diehard poetry fans. They love to read it. They'll definitely buy your book. But then you have the people that aren't diehard poetry people that I think their attention could be grasped a different way, and I think a CD can do that.
And if people want to get a hold of either your chapbooks, I know you have 2 out from earlier in the, like, 2009, 2010, and the CD that you were just talking about, where would they go to get it?
The chapbooks right now, I'm actually going to get those reprinted. So chapbooks aren't available right now, but the CD is, you can get it on my website, which is www.passthelight.com. And that's PASSDASLIGHT.com. So there's a button on there that you can click, and it'll take you to PayPal, and it'll let you purchase the album for $7.
Nice. And what else is on your website? Oh, go ahead, please.
And there's another option too. is a website called Bandcamp, which you can also go to and listen to the CD, and then you can download it. So if you don't want the hard copy, and a lot of people are going toward this, the digital copy, you can download it on your laptop, or you can download it on your phone, which I heard iPhone have a little problem with that, but you can download it on your iPad too. So it's kilowattpoet.bandcamp.com.
And kilowatt is spelled K-I-L-O-W-A-T-T, the usual way?
Yes.
Yes, and it's all one word, kilowatt, hot poet.
Yes, one word.
Okay.
It's
all right.
Kilowatt
poet.
Dot Bandcamp.
Live around the Charleston area very often?
I don't do a lot, but I've been, since I put my CD out, I made it a goal to do a lot more. And now that the school year is about to be over, I definitely am going to try to hit some different poetry spots in South Carolina that I've been hearing about, just networking on social media. North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, even Florida, I've heard about some spots down there too. So I'm going to definitely try to hit the tri-state area. And I think I can do it because, you know, normally I have a summer job, but this summer I decided I'm just going to dedicate to me trying to further my brand of poetry and get in front of the crowd more, because I've been doing a lot more social media, you know, interacting with people through social media, but I need to get out in front of the microphone, in front of the crowd more than I have been.
Yes. There's an interesting dynamic between the performer and the audience that happens in live performance versus, you know, CDs and versus books. Do you feel like the audience grows to understand who you are, or do you like to explain to them who you are and then read poetry?
I don't do a lot of talking between the poems. I kind of just, this is the title, and I let you just get what you need from it. Just because if you're doing, like, open mic, there's not a whole lot of time for one particular person, which I do want to get, go to where I'm the feature poet. And if you're the feature poet, you have longer time, so you can get into a little more background behind the poems. But when you're just a, you know, on the open mic list, you know, you want to keep it as short as possible. So I don't really go into too much backstory, but I think I want to do some more features or get into where I'm doing a feature poet. And, you know, you get your 20, 30 minutes, and then you have time to, you know, get into more information about yourself.
Do you have any dates at various places where you're going to feature booked at this point?
I don't have anything booked, but I've been talking to different hosts. You know, I have a few places in mind. Actually, Moody Black, he hosts one in Greenville that I definitely want to get there. That's on my list. And there's a place in Columbia, South Carolina that I talked to the host, and it's just a matter of, you know, checking my schedule. I want to get school finished and not have anything to worry about on that part. So I would say, you know, June, July, book these dates. So it's just a formality. I haven't really booked anything solid, but I'm in talks with hosts. So, you know, that's coming soon.
Excellent. Do you know the names of the venues in Greenville and in Columbia that you were just mentioning?
Moody Blacks is called Say What, and it's at Coffee Underground, which is downtown Greenville. It's on Sundays. And then there's another one by a host named Al Black that's in Columbia. And I can't recall the name of the event, but I know it's like on a Wednesday in Columbia. And I've already been there once, and he said I can just contact him when I want to get a feature. So he's already kind of extended it out there. That could be a feature at his event.
Well, I'm glad to have had you on the show today. We're going to run out of time here shortly, and I want to make sure that I give you enough time to finish the poem that you're going to read us out on. In the meantime, I just want to say thank you to my listeners for being here this week. We will have another poet next week, Sunday. And if you can't listen live, you can certainly listen to the podcast. And you, to do that, you go to Spoken Heard, that's all one word, at blogtalk.com. And then look for my name, Susan, S-U-S-A-N, D-O-B-B-E, and a second last name, Chase, C-H-A-S-E. I would like to thank Rick McIntyre, who typically does a lot of things behind the scenes for me. And otherwise, I would like to bring you the last poem by Joey Tucker, otherwise known as Mr. Enlightenment.
All right. Well, a little introduction here. This is also on my CD. I had a cousin of mine. I was close. He passed away a couple years ago. And I had another friend that played football with me. He passed away. So I put these two poems together. You were always around me like my shadow. I didn't always appreciate it. One thing about shadows, they show up the most when the sun shines. I underestimated your radiance. Morning trips to school, bobbing our heads to the latest music simultaneously. I was Wanya Morris. You were Sean Stockman. We went from boys to men simultaneously. After high school, we went our separate ways. You enlisted to defend our country. I enlisted to defend my team's quarterback. Maybe I influenced you more than I thought. During our time apart, you made a few mistakes. We all learned differently. No classroom necessary to figure out that life is one of our strictest teachers. I was proud to see your evolution. You took negatives to positive like subtraction problems, all the while calculating success. Nobody's time on this earth is forever. We just wish we could have you a little while longer. But I'm willing to bet you and your dad are sitting together, catching up old times as you look down on us. We bonded in the hot sun, serving our time in Dickie's army. No machine guns, helmets and shoulder pads were our weapons of choice. Both of us out of shape running laps, lagging behind the rest of the team. We used that time to catch up. Recognized as one of Presbyterian College's best of the decade, but you remember for so much more. I reported the class as a liability. You embraced me and never held it against me. Time flew by and we still kept in touch. The two of us had musical ambitions. Hour-long conversations about who's hot and not. I remember when I got that call, a motorcycle crash. We talked a few days before. Life is too short. Before your eyes do a flash. At the funeral, I had to say a few words. Family and friends mourning. Cries were all that could be heard. My message was simple and to the point. I knew you wanted everybody smiling. So, my friend, I couldn't disappoint.
Thank you, Joey, again. Thank you for being my guest here today. This is Spoken Heard. I'm Susan W. Chase. And until next week, be kind to one another.